So, and welcome to the Unnamed Movie Podcast. This is Andrew.
Oh shit, I'm so used to Damien saying his name next, but I guess he's not here. This is Douglas.
Yes, Damien has abandoned us today again. What's up with him, Douglas? What's his story?
Well, let me tell you his story. I telephoned him about a half an hour after we were supposed to start, and he didn't pick up his phone. I figured that must mean he looked at his phone, said, "Holy shit, Douglas is calling me, and I haven't even left my house. I'm an asshole." But I figure if I call him again, he'd probably pick up. So I call him again, and the phone, he picked up the phone. It was very, you know, I could barely hear what was going on. It sounded like there was some sort of a tussle or whatever. And then I realized, actually, the person that picked up wasn't Damien. It was, I don't know if it was his sister or his mom or somebody. But they were just like, "Yeah, Damien's sleeping." And I was like, "Okay, thanks." So
I'd like to take this moment to just wish Damien some nice dreams. Hope he's in wonderful dreamland right now.
Yep, I've got some choice dreams for him right here. Yeah.
Anyways, this week on the podcast, we're going to take a mini audible because we were going to talk about this anyway, but we're going to talk about it in a more free-form way. And on a side note, we were going to discuss A Field in England, which we're not going to discuss at all, because both of us dislike that movie completely. Right?
I wouldn't say it's, you know, all bad, but yeah, I didn't really like it.
Okay. So, just... No, guys, no. And we're moving on. This week, I wanted us to talk about TIFF. Douglas, you are going to be attending the Toronto International Film Festival with me this year, right?
Oh, sheezy.
All your documents are in order. All you need to do is actually get on the plane, right?
Yes, which may be a problem because I, like Damien, tend to enjoy my sleep.
Okay. Good thing you have a late flight.
Good thing. And business class.
I tell you how certain people so roll, right?
No, it was literally the only flight left on that day. Or the only class, actually, on that day that I could get.
Yeah, that's what you're telling us. So we know. We know, Douglas, you are rolling in all the money, right?
Yeah. that's exactly right, Andrew.
But anyways, I'd like to start out by talking about the movies we're looking forward to, because I mean that's the kind of thing we're looking for, we want to talk about. And more importantly, Douglas, I want to ask you, like, how is it that you kind of started to piece together your list? Were you like me, who was like watching every announcement and kind of adding a short list in your mind as you were going along, or did you wait for everything to come out and for it to become quote unquote real for you, and then you could start consuming the entire thing one time?
Actually, what I did is, and I did this a few times, and you can thank JPS for me having to do it a few times, and so adding and subtracting certain movies, you know, along the way. What I did is, at a certain point, I would say maybe 2, maybe 3 weeks ago, I just went on the TIFF website and went to the schedule that showed whatever they had selected at that point, and literally went through it alphabetically and started from 12 Years a Slave to Zip and Zap and whatever the hell the rest of that name movie is, and just went through and said, okay, this one looks interesting, this one doesn't, this one looks interesting, this one I have to go to. And so what I would have is a Chrome window with about 50 tabs open. And then JPS would say, you know what, Douglas? And by the way, for those of you, you know, for all of our listeners who I'm pretty sure don't live in Jamaica, JPS is Jamaica Public Service, our electricity provider, our only electricity provider, who is not very reliable. And so at least 5 times, my computer shut off. I had to turn it back on, and I said, oh shit, I have to go through the process again. And in doing that, I inadvertently would see, you know, the new announcements, as you say, you know, as announcements came on. But then there got a point where, especially when Ryan sent that email where he spoke about Tifa and how Tifa was a great way to do the whole scheduling thing, which it actually, after a few speed bumps, and after I actually had to talk to the guys on their Twitter feed, because there was a bit of a bug on my end, it actually did become a really useful tool. But what I did before that was I actually realized, hold on, all of these movies must have trailers. And if TIFF is any sort of like normal first world enterprise, I'm sure they have a YouTube channel with all the trailers on there. And guess what? They did. So I actually, there was one night where when I first subscribed to the channel, I watched all of the trailers on there. And I think it was fairly late in the game. I think there was maybe only just a week left before all the selections were coming. And so I'm sure I watched like 30 or 40 trailers that one night. And that's where, you know, I definitely, so there were some movies I, you know, knew I wanted to watch. Say, for example, Southcliffe, because guess what? That's a British crime movie. And, you know, I'm head over heels with those. But there were others that just didn't have enough information, because at the time, I wasn't really looking at the detailed information. I was really more just looking at, you know, when you look at the list, it's a picture, and then you scroll over the picture and there's like a small blurb. I was just really looking at the blurb. And so there were some movies that I realized, hold on, I really want to watch these, even though the blurb didn't do it justice, or the other way around. And so it was a bit of a mix match. And since then, I've been watching trailers and using, you know, both TIFF and TIFFA to kind of whittle down that list. And to tell you the truth, that list, you and I both got the same package. We're on the 30 movie package. That list was way longer than 30, and I still want it to be longer than 30, if only I had the cash and the time, you know?
Yes, Mr. First Class, the cash and the time. So I guess my question to you is, like, we're going to start talking about films in a moment, but, like, as you were kind of trying to piecemeal your schedule together using TIFFA, which, yes, it is a wonderful tool. Ryan introduced it to me last year when I was going, and they have improved their site so much since last year. Because last year, in order to get this done, what you really had to do was you had to go to a URL that TIFFA gave us and bookmark that URL. Then you had to go to the actual film page in the TIFF website to go, say you want to watch it, like, say Lupo. I went to Lupo, and then you'd click the bookmark, and then it would add it to its your shortlist on TIFFA, and then you'd be able to play around with it in your schedule and do all these sorts of things, which was good, and you got all of the TIFFA functionality that you're getting to use now, Douglas. But I really like that they've integrated it properly, so you can actually do everything on the TIFFA website. All they need now is a phone app. I'm not sure if they have one right now or not.
Yeah, I don't know either, but I tried to look up one on the Google Play Store and it wasn't there. So if they do, I guess you have to at least go to the website.
Because I know what I'm going to do, because at the end of the day, when I'm done, when all my tickets are selected and confirmed and I know exactly what I'm doing, I'm going to type all of my schedule into my Google calendar so that I have it on my phone when I'm walking around.
I have to actually.
That's what I did last year.
Yeah, can I tell you what I'm going to do? I'm going to do exactly what you just said. Plus, I'm going to have to figure out, because I don't think that the whole roaming data thing makes sense because of the expenses. Like, I can sign up to this weird package that, you know, makes actual calls make sense, but I don't think it works with data. So I'm going to have to research, like, whether it's Rogers or whoever up there.
I used Rogers last year.
But I want to make sure that I can just go to them, get a SIM, and have some decently priced data package, because I want to be able to get out of a movie, go to my navigation app and tell it where I want to go and have it tell me which bus to go on and where to walk to. Because No problem, sir.
Yeah. No problem.
I need to figure
it
out.
I went to Rogers last year. We'll probably do it again this year.
Okay. And they had data like that?
Yep.
Oh,
prepaid.
Awesome.
So you just pay a certain amount and you type in the code on your phone and you get that much for a month or how much. I think I bought like a gig.
Yeah.
And I couldn't finish that in the time I was there.
Yeah, of course. And
because I'm not walking around watching YouTube videos.
Yeah, exactly. You know, we're just, you know, getting from place to place and maybe
I'm using it for Twitter and for like using navigation for Google Maps and such.
Agreed. All I have to do now is remember to bring my paperclip.
Yep. So anyways, moving into the actual films that we're looking forward to, I'd like to like keep this to a short to start with some of the bigger names, because what I love about this festival that I learned from last year, which was while there are a lot of huge name premieres there, and if you're into that, they're there. At the same time, you're eventually going to be forced, if you're watching more than three movies, you're going to be forced into a series of random, completely unknown picks where you're like, just because it fits my schedule and it sounds like the best out of that lot, but it turns out to be like the funnest movie of all time. I want to start with those big premieres. Douglas, what are some of those bigger named movies that you have on your schedule earmarked that you're looking forward to seeing?
Well, the bigger name movies, I guess we can start off with Labor Day, which is Jason Reitman's latest movie. I actually don't really know what it's about, but if it's Jason Reitman, I am on board.
And there's another thing with Jason Reitman that you're looking very forward to.
Yes, there is, but I figured that wouldn't fit the bill, or does that fit the bill here?
Well, I just brought it up because you said Jason Reitman, and my brain did a connection thing. So I said, screw whatever I said.
Yes, so hopefully, because Andrew's claiming, and I don't know when the times are, but Andrew claims that I have one of the better times for picking, and Andrew has one of the not-so-good times, that I will be able to actually get two tickets, one for myself and one for whoever can pay the requisite price. Andrew, I don't think one ticket in return is good enough, just saying.
I tell you, I'll give you two bears as well, right? Two bears and a ticket, all right? I'll buy you two bears.
I'll take it under consideration. So Jason Reitman is going to lead a surprise cast. I don't know if there are any breadcrumbs that anybody has found to know who may or may not be on the cast.
I'm sure he'll start tweeting out breadcrumbs very soon.
Yeah, I saw he did that last year. Him. Oh, did he? Okay. There's
like last year, what they did was they did American Beauty, and they had Bryan Cranston as the lead role.
Oh, that would be awesome! Oh man, yeah. He just said, I saw a tweet where he said it's gonna be like great or something like that. But I would imagine that he would probably bring a bunch of people that he's already worked with, so that, you know, brings to mind somebody like a Clooney or, you know, Charlize Theron or anybody from any of his older movies, you know?
I don't know. We'll see what happens, because because he's done a lot of these live reads like all throughout the States, and they did it at TIFF last year for the first time in Canada. And he has brought out surprising casts to do assortments of things. I think he's done Ghostbusters already.
Well, that makes sense. That's, you know, daddy's movie.
And he does these as like one night only kind of thing. So it's not like, oh, we have the script for Ghostbusters and these five actors, we're going to go around for a month and do all these events. He just does one event, one time, one script, one cast.
Yeah. Yeah, that
would definitely. So I missed that last year. If you can get me that ticket, Douglas, like, yeah, I'd be very much appreciative.
I hear you. And there, can I tell you, there are definitely a bunch of movies. I feel like I almost should change my schedule so that movies that I want to watch but can't schedule, but movies that I want to watch but make it above my 30 allotted, I should have the space for them, so that when I can buy extra tickets, I'll just buy the extra tickets for them. But I haven't done that. All I've done is my Sunday, the last day is free for me, and I think I have a couple short days in there.
Oh, you just mentioned my strategy where I have scheduled in like, I think around 37 movies in my schedule right now, with a few of them sitting down as alternates. For example, like, I have on the 7th, on Saturday, I have 12 Years a Slave and Only Lovers Left Alive as alternates to each other, where I'm like, so 12 Years a Slave might sell out because that's a big movie. Like, I've even started to see some people who got to see it early talking about, like, yeah, this is the Oscar winner of the year that's going to be happening, right? I really want to watch it. And then I already have written down the 7 movies, which I'm like, okay, those are the extra ticket movies, where after I've done my 30 pick, those 7 can go as my extra tickets on the first when they open up to single ticket purchases.
Yup. I think I might have to do a little rejiggering tonight and tomorrow, ahead of my early Tuesday afternoon picking schedule. But I mean, other than that, I don't know if you'd consider Enemy a big name, because it actually has Jake Gyllenhaal and Melanie Laurent. I guess Melanie isn't that big, but Jake Gyllenhaal is. I don't know if that's really that big a movie, but I'm looking forward to that. It's the director of, well, if you're English, it's Incendies. If you're not, it's probably On Sundays or something around there. Can't really pronounce French, unfortunately. And so that sounds, you know, like it would be interesting. Night Moves, of course, with Jesse Eisenberg and Dakota Fanning, and I love Peter Sarsgaard to death, no matter what he's doing. And again, I really don't know.
I want to watch that one, but I can't schedule it in, no matter where I look. Like, I think the only time
it would
work. What are you
talking about? I got mine scheduled in. Mine is on Monday.
The only time it would
12.
Work for me is for the last day of the festival, and it's at the time that I don't want to have a movie.
Yeah. You want to make sure you can watch the Choice Award, whatever it's called, right?
Yeah, assuming the Choice Award isn't something I've already picked up.
That would suck.
I'm like, all right, I guess I'm not doing anything today. Who wants to go to the IMAX? Me? Yeah.
I know, right? And I guess we can both talk about Gravity. I think we're both going to this and hoping that we'll get an IMAX screening, yes?
Yeah, I mean, I've recently been debating dropping Gravity from my list.
Don't you dare.
Because, don't I dare? Mainly because I'm afraid that too many people have figured out that that's the only IMAX screening.
Well, if you want, and if you're willing to pay the price, I can try and get an extra ticket for you there.
We'll talk about this, right? And it's mainly because there's another film, which is not as big a name movie, but it's going to be a relatively big premiere that I want to get in, and that IMAX screening is the one time where it'll really fit for me, and it's Bruce McDonald's The Husband. And this is a guy who did Pontypool. And I'm
really
interested in...
Yeah, I heard nothing but good things about that movie, yet I still have not watched it, as usual.
Yeah, I really digged Pontypool when I saw it. Dug. I forgot English right there. And the thing about it is, like, when you see what they have as a description for the movie, let me scroll down to it.
Oh, it's great. It's like a
saddled with a lousy job, an infant son, and a wife doing jail time for sleeping with a 14-year-old, a disgruntled Toronto ad agency employee struggles to deal with his impotent rage in this gutsy black comedy. I really want to see that movie.
Me too.
Thing about it is that even though Gravity is this movie, and it's even on my fantasy list, and... The only draw for me to see it at TIFF at this point is to get to see it on an IMAX screen, on a true IMAX screen, which, while I have an IMAX here in Trinidad and I'll be leaving it very soon, it's not a true IMAX. It's just a really big theater, and it's a step up from going to Carib, but
anything's a step up from Carib.
Yeah, and I'm almost getting to that point of feeling where if I can't secure a ticket for that IMAX screening, I might just skip over to The Husband instead.
Yeah,
that would
actually
make more sense for me.
You know, it's funny. Remember how we both said, you know, we'll go watch The Husband at this time on Monday and we'll just run over to the pub with Ryan. Ryan got very upset when he saw The Husband where it was on my list, so I changed it.
So yeah, Gravity is one of those that I'm teetering on, and especially I'm getting the feeling that it's a movie that, even though it seems very artsy to us and very interesting, and we might not see it in our locations, I'm feeling more and more like it's actually going to come out to Jamaica and such. So
I don't think, well, it might, because Clooney's in it, but I don't know what else would bring it to us, you know. The director isn't anything, any big name, at least in our parts. I mean, I love Alfonso Cuarón from I Saw It to Mama Tambien, but that's because I watch movies that normal Jamaicans don't watch, and so do you. So I don't know. I mean, there's a lot of movies that I thought were gonna come out here and did not.
So, all right, I want to take it away to go to another big premiere, which is going to be happening at TIFF, which I'm so looking forward to, and it is The Wind Rises. This is the newest film from Hayao Miyazaki. And Douglas, if there's one thing you know about me, right, is that I can't resist a film by Hayao Miyazaki.
Yes, I agree.
I have seen all of his movies, and there are very few directors who've made as many films as he has that I can say that for, right? I adore his films, and if I get into this screening, this will be the first Hayao Miyazaki film that I'll be seeing on a big screen, and I'm so looking forward to it, Douglas. The trailer looks like trash because they don't know how to make trailers for his movies, but it looks so pretty. It looks so good.
Yeah, the trailer looks horrible, but as you said, it's not really the trailer that's pushing us to do this. I, like you, do also like Miyazaki. I have not watched as many as you have. I've probably watched, I can probably count on my left hand how many movies I've watched from him, but the ones that I have enjoyed thoroughly. And as you say, this trailer, what it does show, other than just a ridiculously, if this movie is like this trailer, I will fall asleep in 5 minutes. But what it does show is that, you know, that style that he has perfected over the years is very much there in the characters and the drawings of the characters. And I just hope to go and enjoy myself.
And the next thing I'm going to bring up, keeping this Japanese, the next big premiere, which I'm looking forward to, is the Japanese remake of Unforgiven, a film we discussed on this podcast with Ken
really
Watanabe as
movie.
The samurai.
Well, it couldn't fit in my 30. I'm not sure. I think what I might do is that might be one of those movies that I have to reshuffle for so that I can buy an extra ticket.
Like, part of me feels this can't be as good as the real Unforgiven or the Clint Eastwood Unforgiven.
No, of course not. It's like, did you ever watch the spaghetti bowl lady or something like that?
I watched like 20 minutes of it and I just stopped. But then again, I'm not a big fan of that Coen Brothers film either. So
no, that Coen Brothers movie is awesome. Listen here, Andrew. There is no such thing as a bad Coen Brothers movie. The only regret that I have about watching Coen Brothers movies is that I have not watched all of them. There are still a select few movies that they have made.
Have you seen Burn After Reading yet?
Of course I have. I watched that with you.
Oh.
Yeah, I've watched that movie. I've watched. Well, I wouldn't say bad. It's one.
Have you seen A Serious Man yet?
I watched some of it, and it was a bit too serious for me. But I will nut up and watch it fully one day.
But yeah, I'm totally looking forward to a Yojimbo reimagining of Unforgiven. That sounds awesome to me. I don't know if you have any other really big premieres like on your schedule that you're looking forward to.
That I'm looking forward to big. I'm not sure. Let's see. Oh, well, I'm just going to call this one big because I saw the trailer for this movie outside of the TIFF channel way before I saw it on the TIFF selection, which is How I Live Now, starring Saoirse Ronan, who is kind of awesome, who starred in Hannah, and directed by, even though I haven't seen this movie, I've heard lots of great things, the same guy that directed The Last King of Scotland, Kevin MacDonald. And
he also did the Bob Marley documentary.
Yeah, but I'm never going to watch that. Bob Marley doesn't interest me that much. I have seen a few of them already. I'm pretty sure I know enough about Bob Marley. I don't need to know anymore. There's nothing new that they can give me that I really care about. He made good music, and I would prefer to buy his albums than watch another documentary. However, he directed a new movie called How I Live Now, and it looks kind of awesome. Actually, it looks like it could be kind of awesome or just not good at all. I'm not sure yet, but I'm willing to give young Ronan a chance. I really like her movies.
So what I want to move to next is I want to just move down the line to take off the big premieres and start talking about some of the more interesting movies that you more than likely wouldn't be seeing in a theater that you're kind of looking forward to at TIFF.
Oh, that would be about all of them. But let's start talking stuff that I wouldn't see. Well, I'm going down my schedule, and the first thing that kind of, you know, tickles my fancy, and this is one of the big ones, one of the ones that I know if I don't get a ticket to, I am going to cry myself to sleep that night. And I'm going to continue begging people to figure out if I can try and get into this movie, which is Therese. And the funny thing is, like a lot of the movies that I get attached to very quickly, I really don't know much about this movie. I know it's an adaptation of a pretty famous novel by somebody who wrote it that I don't know, because I don't read enough classical books. I know that it's been made into a movie a bunch of times, even one with one of my favorite leading ladies, Audrey Tautou. But this one stars yet another lady that has kind of put herself in one of the best lights that she could to me. And that's Elizabeth Olsen, who I keep thinking of as the good Olsen, you know, as opposed to the twins. Elizabeth Olsen was in Martha, Marcy, Marlene, whatever, May. I can't remember the order of those names in that movie. But that movie alone kind of cemented for me, I'm pretty sure for you, but I don't want to talk for you, you know, just her ridiculous acting ability. And the fact that she knew a good movie when it came up on her, because, you know, not only do you have to act, but you have to act good in good movies. And she did both of those there. And I'm hoping that she's doing the same thing here. Draco Malfoy is in this movie. I don't know if that's a good thing or a bad thing. I always said that out of all the Harry Potter youngsters, he did the best, especially, well, when they got older in the later movies, that he was one of the better actors. But somebody pointed this out to me, and I kind of have to admit, it's kind of easy to play the bully that has all of these snide comments, because, you know, it's almost one-sided, and you don't have much depth to that you have to get into. Unlike Harry, which proved that he doesn't have any depth at all in those movies. But I'm hoping really to enjoy this film. You know, Olsen is definitely the big reason for that. What about you, Andrew?
I'm going to go straight to my Japanese double feature, which is something that I kind of cemented down like the moment I saw these movies like on the shortlist. And it is Mobius, newest film from Kim Ki-duk. Yep. And if this blurb doesn't sell you, I don't know what's wrong with you. This twisted family chronicle perched somewhere between psychological thriller and grotesque comedy and perverse ode to pleasures and sadomasochism. There's a part of the blurb where it kind of describes the story a little bit. And I'll ask you, Douglas, if you don't mind me reading it, if you're trying to keep yourself as blank as possible on this movie.
I'm not trying to keep myself blank. I saw the trailer, which actually tells you absolutely nothing about this movie. And I did read that part of the blurb. I've read the blurb for actually a lot of these movies. However, I am kind of blank, because even though I've read the blurb, I will easily forget it. And truthfully, all I needed for this movie was directed by the guy that directed Spring, Summer, Fall, Winter, and Spring Again. I mean, that movie is just... There are no words for how good that movie is and how well directed that movie is. And I really need to watch Pieta because despite... the fact that Andrew claims he has told me, I disagree. I know Andrew has not told me. Under no circumstances did Andrew tell me that this guy directed Pieta as well, which would have sold me and would have made sure that I watched this movie, Andrew. How dare you?
So, okay, since you don't mind, I'm going to read this from the TIFF website. this is from the website. It says, observed by their adolescent son, a couple's fight over a husband's infidelity turns to a grotesque calamity. After failing to sever her husband's penis, the infuriated wife chooses instead to dismember her son in order to hurt his father. Family violence sparks a chain of events that culminates into a dramatic epilogue of destruction. Now, think about that, Douglas.
So hold on, Andrew. What you're saying is that you... A person who does not like Antichrist really wants to watch the Korean version of Antichrist. Is that what you're telling me?
It's Korean, right?
I don't think I got that far in the blurb. I just got to, the guy that I like. And I was like, sold.
And to go to my next part of the Japanese double feature, I'm going to R100, which, once again, in case you haven't read, Douglas, I'm going to read you a bit of this blurb, right? because this is just perfect, right? A mild-mannered family man with a secret taste for S&M finds himself pursued by a gang of ruthless dominatrixes, each with a very special talent. Douglas... This sounds like Kill Bill with dominatrixes.
Yes, I don't think I would have probably chose this movie if it was just about the movie. I did choose it if anybody looks at my TIFFA schedule, which is out there for the public. My username is DJR Lost His Name, so go there if you want to see what I'm hoping to watch and tell me that I'm wrong.
And of course it'll be updated when you actually confirm your stuff, so.
Yeah, of course, yeah. But I did choose that one because you told me that it's going to be a midnight movie and that the midnight movies are a little bit different. They're not what I'm expecting to get from the regular showings, which is you just sit down on a great screen, watch a great movie and have a great experience. There's also almost crowd participation, if you want to call it.
It is a much more fun screening in comparison to the rest of it. It might be partly that they're trying to get you to stay awake. I don't know, but it's a really fun screening, especially with the movies they pick. Because I can tell you, there's another film that I've earmarked as my shortlist, which is another midnight film called Why Don't You Play in Hell?
No, Andrew, that movie looks bad.
It looks bad.
Again,
but
I saw that trailer before TIFF, but and I said to myself, I will never watch this movie because it looks
actually.
So
I agree with you. I agree with you. But then something told me to do more research, right? And I went and I found a Japanese trailer, which is like 2.5 minutes long of this, and it kind of, while I didn't have subtitles, it kind of hinted at a lot of other things which were going on in this movie, which just seems crazy awesome. As far as I can tell, there involves a Yakuza, lots of murder, and the fact that there's a film crew somewhere in the middle. So it might just all be fake in the making of a Yakuza murder film, or they're murdering Yakuzas and they're filming it. I don't know, but it looks amazingly hilarious and awesome. And a friend of the show, Matthew Price, from Mamo, recommended it to me. He's a big fan of the filmmaker's previous film, called, is it, I'm trying to remember the name right now, Symbol, which I need to look up, because looking at what I saw in the description on IMDb, it sounds like a crazy-ass movie.
Yes, it does. Now, I just want to highlight a couple more movies that kind of land in this, excuse me, in this category. One that I am especially excited for and very much hope to get tickets for is The Eternal Return of Antonis Paraskevas. It's a Greek movie. And it's about a kidnapping. It's about a chef who gets kidnapped. And, you know, it seems to do a little bit of following the people trying to find him, but also probably more focuses on his actual time as a kidnappee. But what I really enjoyed or really want to watch this movie for, and they kind of hint at it at the in the trailer, but don't exactly say it out loud. But Tiff actually does say it out loud in the synopsis, in the blurbs. It is clear that he has actually kidnapped himself. Nobody really kidnapped him. What it has to do is, I guess he, you know, maybe he's a sad individual and feels like his friends don't, or the people around him don't show him whatever they need to show him, and so he needs to foster that and get, you know, whatever brownie points he can get by becoming someone who is kidnapped, and hopefully at the end of the movie actually being found and rescued. Just the almost the somber tone of the trailer. And Andrew, you know that I latch on to sometimes the weirdest things. Just the somber and the solitary tone of the trailer. It looks like this movie is going to be a character study of him and what traits kind of show up when he is alone and left to his own machinations. And that, you know, sounds like something I most definitely want to watch. Another movie along this line. Well, there are a bunch of movies here, and you know, they all are really cool. But Attila Marcel, and all I really need to know about this movie is that it's directed by Sylvain Chomet, who also directed The Illusionist. That is actually a movie we discussed on this podcast, not the Chris Nolan Illusionist, clearly, but the cartoon. And while I don't think we exactly liked it, there were some good things about it, definitely. And the good things about that movie look to be kind of transformed or transported into this one, because Attila Marcel seems to be his first live action film, and apparently it's about this man child who was raised by two eccentric aunts. Of course, it's a French movie, so you know, I've already got one box ticked when it comes to things that I look for. One of those boxes is this from France, and yes, this one is from France. And it looks to be extremely, you know, quirky and colorful. The man doesn't talk, but his aunts want him to be, you know, this great pianist. And what he does do is he communicates through the clothes that he wears, and he wears very brightly colored suits. And that just, I don't know, there's just something to that quirk that makes me want to watch it. It might not be the greatest thing in the world, but it at least sounds like something that I definitely want to watch.
All right, so there are three movies I want to bring up next, and they're the three documentaries which I have on my shortlist to watch, which I'm really looking forward to, because I really like documentaries, and I'm really sad that more and more I don't get to see documentaries in the theater. But the three that I'm looking forward to is, number one, The Unknown Known, which is the newest documentary where Errol Morris sits down with Donald Rumsfeld and talks about post 9/11. And while the topic itself doesn't really interest me that much, because like we all had that conversation watching the news and such, but I'm always interested in what Errol Morris has to bring to me. And while we imagine that Donald Rumsfeld wouldn't really say anything too incriminating of anyone. I do have a feeling that Errol Morris wouldn't have put out a movie if there wasn't something so interesting that he found out of this conversation with Rumsfeld. So I'm looking forward to seeing that, to discovering what's in there.
Well, it sounds like you have a previous relationship with this Errol Morris fellow. What else has he done that you like that kind of makes you think that this is going to be an exclusive?
Makes me think this is going to be an exclusive.
Breaking news.
He's done a lot of documentaries. The only two that I've seen so far are Tabloid, the one that we keep going on about, Douglas, that you haven't watched.
Yes.
And the documentary from 1988, The Thin Blue Line, which is an infamous documentary if you don't know about it, which is about a case... with a guy on death row who apparently Errol Morris was able to bring up new evidence that was so obvious, that not obvious but so dramatic, that they ended up freeing the guy out of jail and reopening the case. And he's done a number of other documentaries which I haven't seen, but everyone has regarded, like The Fog of War and Standard Operating Procedure and stuff like that. He even helped co-produce The Act of Killing with Werner Herzog, which we talked about recently. And he is this kind of documentarian which is always finding more and more things to discuss when it comes to all of these things. And as I said, like, even though I have no clue as to how interesting the topic will be, I really hope that he's going to present something special, which is what I feel he always does. The other two documentaries on my list are movies which you have on yours, Douglas. Number one is Finding Vivian Mayer, which is this documentary about this woman who apparently was a secluded photographer, a secluded photographer. I'm making up this term. And after her death, someone just discovered her apartment full of photographs. And they just found this stuff, and it became this amazing thing to find. And they're just going through all of these photographs and going through talking to people in her life. And I want to find out more about this because it sounds like a really interesting thing to me. And also The Dog, which apparently is the true story of... what we see in Dog Day Afternoon of Al Pacino's character's boyfriend that we see him talk to in the movie, and his understanding of what went on in that day and his life. And I'm actually really interested to find out. Mainly, might be partly to get something else to attach towards that movie, which I love so much. I don't know, but I'm curious.
Yeah, those movies, I'm definitely much more excited about The Dog than, what's her name, Maya? Vanessa Maya or something like
Vivian
that?
Mayer. Vivian Mayer. At least I'm saying Mayer. Yeah. I don't know if it's Mayer. Probably
well, I don't know.
Mayer,
when I watch a trailer, they pronounced it Maya, so I'll give it to them. But that one definitely looks interesting, but I'm not sure if that's going to make the final cut. It looks like the type of documentary I like, and it appears that those photographs are, you know, beautiful, which would be also an added plus, but I'm not 100% sure on that one.
Like, I just find that fascinating. Mainly it's because as someone who constantly tries to make things but always feels like, oh, this is just for me. Like, I'm not sharing this with the world because you guys would probably be dirtbags and tell me I'm an idiot. and I have that fantasy that one day, 5 billion years from now, someone will find it and think it's the most amazing thing in the world. I don't know. And just to add, there's this one movie which I know isn't on your list, Douglas, but let me see if I can pitch it to you. Called The Disappearance of Eleanor Rigby, Him and
I,
Her.
Can I tell you? I actually had that on my list early and took it off. But try and change my mind. And pretend
so,
like
I don't know anything about.
I just remember that two big actors are in there, but I can't remember who anymore. As I say, I read things and then I forget them. So just, you know, treat me like I don't know anything.
I treat you that all the while. So I don't know anything really about the director, but the movie's starring Jessica Chastain and James McAvoy, mm-hmm. As well as Ciarán Hinds, Bill Hader, and Viola Davis. And this is a two-part miniseries that they're kind of putting as a movie about this disappearance, this kidnapping of sorts. And I don't know anything else really about it, other than the fact, which the notes have said, that this is a movie which, as I said, is a two-part miniseries, which is intended to be watched in either order, whichever way you please. And the screening I'm hoping to get into is a screening that is going to show it in the order of Her and Him, as opposed to Him and Her.
That's really interesting.
I'm actually very curious to watch it and then talk to people who watched it at the other version screening where they showed Him and Her, and see how divided we become, where we're like, oh, but you found out about this before then, and I'm like, oh no, I saw that first, and stuff like that. So that's kind of what hooked me. Like, I'm interested in that experience.
Shit, Andrew, I think you just got me. Wow. I think I'm going to have to do some more shifting.
Sweet. Anything else you want to mention, Douglas?
Yes, there are a couple of movies. I definitely want to mention Le Grand Cahier, which is a movie about some children, some fucked up ass children. I can't remember exactly what happens. Probably a war. Yes. So it's during some wartime, probably World War II. I'm just going to assume that's it. And these children's parents have to get rid of them. You know, I'm sure they live in, you know, where all the bombs are blowing up. And so they drop their children off with their grandmother. And this grandmother apparently is not the nicest of people. And she essentially fosters this environment where the children realize that, you know, it's they're just going to have to look out for themselves. And, you know, this is a world full of pain. And so we're going to have to figure out how to weather that pain, how to take that pain and keep standing and keep going forward. And so they literally, like, you know, there's scenes of them beating each other up and going at it, not because they hate each other, but because they have to know how to withstand the pain that, you know, they know they have to feel. And I have no clue whether this is going to be a train wreck, which it could easily be, or one of the greatest movies ever, but I'm intrigued. I'm very much intrigued by this one. And the last one that I want to talk about is a very special movie. I've already tried to pitch it to Andrew, and Andrew has said hell no. It is one of those movies that had to be in my list, because it's, I guess you'd call it a Douglas movie. This movie, I'm not sure what it's about. I don't really know who stars. Apparently the big star is an Australian singer, an Aboriginal singer, if I'm not right, incorrect. And the name of this movie is A Spell to Ward Off the Darkness. Now, as I said before, there are some weird things that will get me attached to films. This name is a cool enough name for me, for it alone to make me think about watching the movie. But this was one of those trailers that I saw on that first night where I kind of sped through all of them. And again, from that trailer, I don't know what this movie is about. I know this movie is going to be crazy, and I might well hate this movie. But some of the visuals in that trailer were just so darkly and grittily beautiful that I need to watch it. And so, no matter what this thing is about, and apparently It's, you know, it's about a nameless protagonist who explores three very different existential options as a member of a commune, living alone in Finland, and fronting a neo-pagan black metal band in Norway. Now, that doesn't sound like a blockbuster movie or a movie that, you know, the general public will come to like, but I really want to watch it. I think that is the special pick for this festival for me.
And I guess if you want to put it that way, I think the special pick for me, this festival, is Johnny Toe's Blind Detective.
Oh, fuck you.
Because, I mean, a Sherlock movie, a Japanese Sherlock movie, where Sherlock is blind and still as awesome, just sounds like amazingness to me.
Man, and I
realize I have a lot of Japanese movies on my list.
Of course you do, because you're Japanese at heart. And I don't want to put down your movie, because it actually also is on my list, but I'm not sure how you could call that a special pick. That looks like such a kicker that, you know, it's going to be fun, but like a special movie, Andrew?
So you're saying I should have taken R100 as my special pick?
Yeah, even that would have been a little bit more special. But actually, no, because that just looks like a kicker with horror movie undertones.
Is R100 the only midnight movie you're planning?
No, I am also planning to go to Witchin' and Bitchin'. And I think there's one more. I'm not sure. Let me go.
Yeah, I've kind of tentatively penciled in Witching and Bitching due to people's recommendations. Apparently it's from the same director who did The Last Circus, which is a movie I wanted to watch forever, but I never actually got around to watching.
I see. No, I don't think there's any other midnight viewing for me, but it still could change. Can I tell you, I kind of wanted to go to The Afflicted, but I can't because we're having our fun. I really did want to watch that movie, though.
Well, you can see that as a daytime screening, because they have other ones afterwards.
Do they? I remember not seeing any daytime screenings for that one.
We can figure that out.
Yeah.
But to move away from that now, my question to you is that, are there any other experiences that you're looking forward to going to TIFF? Right now.
Going to TIFF, I am... Oh, Andrew, you know the first thing that's going to come out of my mouth. The first thing, as soon as I land, I need to get myself an oily, greasy bag or cup or whatever they are sold in of poutine. I have been fiending that ever since. So I've never actually had poutine in Canada because, well, I've never been to Canada. But when I was in university, my friends went to Canada and discovered this thing, this marvelous culinary marvel that was poutine. And it's very simple, but just absolutely delicious. It's French fries with cheese curds and gravy. And I remember they came back and we all kind of got together and made some homemade version of it, and it was fantastic. And I can just imagine what, you know, it would taste like coming from, say, somebody who's, you know, been in the poutine business for 50 years now and has a recipe that grandma made and all that shit. And I've been told that there is at least one place that kind of takes it to a bit of an extreme and is the place to go if you want to get good poutine. And that is one of the big things that I want to do when I'm over there. But other than that, for the experience, I mean, just hanging around and seeing the sights and being in a city, it's fun being in a city, Andrew. I know you did Toronto last year, and so you've actually had that experience before. I don't know what you did there, if it was all movie, or if, you know, you actually got a chance to just go around and see what it's about. But cities are really cool. That's definitely one thing I want to do. I want to live in a city at least for a little bit of my life. And I've been to not very many cities, but a few. And it's definitely a cool vibe. you know, and you're able to get whatever you want there, you know, which is awesome. You know, whatever vibe you want. If you're into the party thing, if you're into the food thing, if you're into the movie thing, clearly, if you're into whatever you're into, it's got a place for you, you know.
Yeah, I mean, I really dug the vibe of being there. It wasn't just the movie thing. It was this feeling, and it might just be the fact that over the years I've talked to so many Torontonians, is that a word? Through Twitter, that it became this experience of finally getting to meet all of them last year, where it felt to me that I could turn a corner and I'd find somebody that I knew and I could hang out and talk to. I just went on Twitter and was like, I'm walking into this movie, and they'd be like, oh, we're upstairs, and it'd just be there. And stuff like, and I hope, Douglas, you learn that Twitter is your friend while you're up there.
I'm going to, because, well, I don't quite have the relationship with a lot of these people that you do, but, you know, it would be nice to foster such a relationship.
And I mean, one thing I'm really looking forward to this year, because unlike last year, we're going to be spending a couple extra days, because like last year, I was definitely kind of go with all of the TIFF coverage, and I'm kind of toning down my coverage. At least I'm doing it differently this year. I'm going to be writing for Screen Invasion, and I'm going to be doing this daily dispatch thing, as opposed to writing 5 reviews in a day where I'm trying to write 3,000, 6,000 words a day. I'm going to go crazy. I'm going to be doing it differently. I hope you will be happy to sit down with me, and we'll try and do a couple of podcasts while we're up there.
Oh, of course. Listen, let me tell you something. We are doing at least 2 podcasts then. We're going to sit Ryan down and get his ass on tape sometime. And we're going to find other people. We're going to do lots
of things. I'm hoping we can do a Tump Mammo. We can just get you, me, and Matt Price and Matt Brown to sit down and do a TIFF podcast. I'm hoping we can figure that out.
Damn right.
I don't know how the timing will work right now. We're going to have to talk to those guys. We'll talk to them, goddammit. And I hope we can do that, because that should be fun. And I'm looking, on top of everything else, I'm looking forward to going to my first baseball game, because I'm actually wanting to do that.
Have you never been to a baseball game before?
I've never been to a baseball game.
Andrew,
this is why
awesome.
Me and Ryan have been talking about this for so long.
I don't
and you
know.
And I are going to go with Ryan and his brother Shane to go watch the Blue Jays Yankees play on
the
17th.
It's the Yankees? Oh.
Yep.
The Yankees are a good side. But so I've actually been to 2 baseball games, but don't make me sound like, you know, I've been much longer before you. The first time I went to a baseball game was about a year ago, when I went up for Jeff's, my good friend's Jeff's, bachelor party. In addition to the bachelor party, we also went to a couple of baseball games. And so that was just a fun event. I mean, I've always liked baseball. You know, that. Dad is a big, well, maybe not a big baseball fan, but definitely a big Cubs fan. And, you know, we used to watch the Cubs with him, and even every once in a while I'll watch some baseball. Now, baseball is a fun game, and it's great to just be there. And I don't know what seats we're getting this time. I'm sure they're just going to be regular seats, because we went to 2 games when I went there. We went to a Nationals game. It was the Washington Nationals versus the New York Mets. And we got just regular seats, and that was fine. But then, because it was like the special day, I guess, we actually went to a Yankees game, Yankees and Mets. And we were essentially on the ground floor. We were between home plate and first base. And it was just marvelous. I mean, I remember sending a picture out Instagram, which I never do anymore. I should really, you know, use more social networks. But anyway, where I took a picture of
the my excuse for not using Instagram more is I don't do shit in my life.
Well, yeah, that's true. I need to up that too. But there was, you know how in airplanes, the back of the chair in front of you has, you know, a flap that gives you magazines and stuff like that. The chair in front of mine had a sign that said something to the effect of, please watch out for bats and balls. You know, like, like that was how close we were to the actual action, and that was awesome. And I'm definitely looking forward to my next baseball game. Beer and hot dogs, we have to have it. I don't know if they do that in Canada, but they better. Maybe it's beer.
I'm pretty
poutine.
Sure they have beer. I don't know what the if the hot dog thing is what you're disputing, but I'm pretty sure they have beer.
I hope so.
And otherwise, I'm looking forward to meeting up with everyone again this coming year. I don't know when next it'll happen after this year, but we'll see. We'll see,
Andrew,
how lucky I am.
Listen here, it has to happen once a year. It's a once a year thing.
TIFF every year. Yeah. TIFF every year. That's what
every
we're talking
year.
About.
Exactly. Especially because Damien hasn't gone yet. We have to get Damien to go next year. And so it will be
okay.
An official Tomp TIFF. Tomp invades TIFF. God damn it.
Anyways, I don't know if there's anything else you want to mention before we head off.
Just that I'm really looking forward to it.
That's awesome. So I guess that's it. We'll see you all at TIFF. And hopefully just tweet us. Tweet Douglas. He's DJR Lost His Name. You know me. I'm at Gman Reviews. Just say hey. You'll be around for TIFF. I'm looking forward because I heard Ed Douglas is going to be there for a while. So hopefully we'll get to meet up with him and talk to him for a bit. Met him last year. See how things are going with him. But otherwise, that's about it for this week. All of your responses for last week's question for the show, I have it on bank. We'll talk about it in the next episode. Hopefully we'll get one more episode in before we go off to TIFF when I land back next week in Jamaica. I think that's about it. This is the longest outro I've ever done, so thanks so much for listening. Good night. I was yours.